we can study your word. Pray, Lord, that you will give me the wisdom that I need to share your word. And it's my prayer, Heavenly Father, Lord, that whatsoever truth we're going to hear today, we'll apply this in our daily living, Heavenly Father. And it's my prayer, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds that we're able to see you. We're able to see what you have done in each one of our lives. And also, Lord, my prayer is that like you will continue to bless each one of us, to praise you and thank you and to worship you. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I told you, I think, once that when I left Thailand way back in 2012, I told to myself that I will never preach again. I just want to sit down and listen. And all of you know, it did not happen, right? I've been in the, for almost 11 years now. I don't know how many times I stand in front of you to share the word of God. As I had mentioned, saying yes to Pastor James last Sunday when he asked me to share the word, it's easy. Saying yes is easy sometimes, but the preparation, the studying part is the harder. I don't know how many of you, when you're given a task or somebody asks you to have something, say yes is easy. But the processing of doing that is the hardest part. And last week's message is about the spies' report to Moses about the sons of Anak. And I'm thankful that God prepared me through that message because I face a lot of sons of Anak in my life while I'm studying this, a lot of like lessons to learn, a lot of like, why I'm doing this? I don't know any of you, but like sometimes there are some questions that we ask to ourselves, what I'm going to share, or how I'm going to do this. I have that experience this week. And also, but I'm so thankful that when I prayed, God put two biblical characters in my heart, and this is what I'm going to share to you. These two biblical characters has a big part in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in his last hours in his life on earth. And way back in 2019, actually, I shared this in our prayer meeting in a shortened form because, you know, during prayer meeting, you cannot really share the whole a lot because we have message in the prayer time. But today, I will share the expounded. My wife said expounded form instead of the shortened form. So today, this is my that I'm going to share to all of you. And these two characters have been a blessing and an encouragement to me to give my best. These two biblical characters, some of the they're unknown. Some of them is underrated in during the time of the last two the few hours of Jesus Christ's life. And many of us here, maybe you think also it's the same thing. You're underrated. You are not famous and unpopular. But God used them even though they consider themselves maybe unpopular, underrated. And even you and I, we have moments in our life that we consider ourselves as unfamous, underrated. Remember that all of us who accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, God has given us opportunity to be a blessing to other people, to be a source of light, to be a source of encouragement. And these two people that we are going to share, that I'm going to share to you, has that big encouragement to my life while I'm studying them, and it continue to encourage me to give my best every time God called me to do something. This man, for me, I mentioned a while ago, are underrated. These two characters had a big, big part in Jesus' life. Two men with different background, different status in life, different upbringing, and different cultures, but both used by God to fulfill his purpose here on earth. Two men who are an example of giving their best to God, whatever he blessed them with. One man was only mentioned three times in the New Testament, and the other was mentioned five times in each Gospels. If you are here today struggling what to give to God, may this man be an encouragement to you to give the best of what you have, of what God blessed you with. God has blessed us with a lot of things in life, like time, physical strength, word of encouragement, financial blessings, and a lot more. May we use these blessings to the people that God put in our hearts. Now, let's look at this man one by one, and let's see what's the lesson that God wants us to learn from them. The first man, I name him a father who helped Jesus carry his cross. And some of you who don't know, his name is who? Simon of Cyrene. His reference is in Mark chapter 27, verse 32, Mark 15, 21, and Luke chapter 23, verse 26. I mentioned a while ago, there's only three verses. Can you imagine that, like, Peter, how many verses that we can read about him? But this man, Simon of Cyrene, a father who helped Jesus carry his cross, have only three verses. But his life is so very remarkable in our life right now as we look at the few hours of Jesus Christ's life. Is there any time in your life that you're in the right place at the wrong time? This guy was. Or you meet someone in a most unusual and unexpected manner. This guy was. He's like, he's in the right place in a wrong time. The story of Jesus' crucifixion involved a number of characters, in some of whom we know much about, in some of whom we know almost nothing. You know anything about Simon of Cyrene? If I did not study, I don't even know a lot about him. The only thing I know about him, he helped Jesus Christ carry his cross. Simon of Cyrene is one of whom we know very little, yet his recorded actions are most memorable moment of Jesus' story. Simon of Cyrene was the man who helped carry the cross of Jesus up to Golgotha. His origin, let's go back to his background first. His origin, he was from a city named Cyrene, a present-day Libya, the north of Africa. Simon traveled, according to scholars, about 2,071 kilometers or 1,300 miles. And I tried to use Google, and look like it's about from Albuquerque to Knoxville, Tennessee. So if you've been to Tennessee, that's how long Knoxville. So about 1,300, about like it says like, I don't know how many days, but that's how. If you just maybe, I don't know if they're walking, if they have some means of transportation, but that's how far it is. Simon went to Jerusalem for the Passover along with tens of thousands of other pilgrims. That's his origin. Now let's see his action. He was compelled to carry Jesus' cross. Simon had not come to Jerusalem to carry a cross. He had just spent anywhere between 35 to 55 days making his way to Jerusalem. This was supposed to be a memorable time for him, and now he has to carry a cross through the streets and out the city gate. You can imagine that, like you prepare a lot, like I'm so excited, and then something bad happened. But for me, it's for him, that might be for him a bad thing, but imagine that. Just put yourself now, like imagine yourself, you are Simon of Cyrene. A new Jew would willingly touch a cross because it was regarded as a curse. No Roman soldier would disgrace himself by carrying a cross for a criminal. So that's why maybe the reason they call him, because none of the Jews want to be to touch that because it's a curse. And even the Roman soldiers don't want to help or to, because it's a disgrace for themselves. The word compelled in Greek means to employ a courier, dispatch a mounted messenger, press into public service, compelled to go. It is a military term meaning to press into service, force, coerce, constrain. Simon was forced to do what others did not want to do. So that, like, how sad sometimes is that you are cold because somebody don't want to do it. Jesus was so weak that he couldn't carry his cross anymore from beating of the Roman soldiers. Simon of Cyrene might have been a strong guy. Maybe he is so, that like people, when you see somebody, hey, strong guy, help this guy, help Jesus. I don't know. I'm just like my sanctified imagination. That's why he called him, maybe because it's like a very, what do you call this one? That's the right word, attractive, where he is like, you can see him, ASAP. What he did maybe was shameful to many, but it helped Jesus complete his task to bring eternal redemption to humanity. As I mentioned a while ago, he's from a country, by the way. He's just like not from the city. He's from the country, going to Jerusalem for the Passover. He's kind of like not so famous one. But what are the lessons that I learned from Simon of Cyrene that I want to share to us? Number one lesson is we need to pick up our cross because we are called to carry our own burden. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Luke is the only one of the Gospels that says Simon carried a cross behind Jesus. All the other Gospels that mention this just say he carried it. Only Luke emphasizes that he carried behind Jesus. Like Jesus, as we carry our daily crosses or burden, God provides people along the way to help us carry our burden, and sometimes, like Simon, a stranger. And based on experience, God knows when and how to provide someone to encourage our journey with him. God knows when to provide people, how to provide people, or even things that we needed when we carry a lot of burden in our own personal lives. And I will ask you, one of you here, we always have our own burden to carry, but God wants us to carry, to pick up our cross or burden daily and follow him. The crosses that we might carry right now might be relational. Some of us may be financial, emotional, physical, sometimes mentally. But remember, as you look back to your life, when you're facing all of these crosses in life, God knows when to provide and how to provide individual to give you an encouragement. And the same thing in the life of Simon and Jesus Christ and Simon of Cyrene. God knows when to provide that certain man to help Jesus Christ carry his cross. We don't always choose the moment of our suffering or crosses. They come upon us in unexpected ways, sometimes frightening ways, sometimes heavy ways, painful ways, seemingly random ways. However, Jesus teaches us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that carrying the cross is our calling as a Christian and the cost of a true disciple. Matthew 16:24, Mark 8:34, in Luke 9:23, the Word of God says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" My brothers and sisters in Christ, are you carrying a cross right now that seems so heavy? May the life of Simon of Cyrene in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ will remind us that God, along the way, just continue carrying that burden, that crosses in life, because God knows when to provide a person, an individual, or whatever. He will provide something for us to care, to ease that burden that we are carrying right now. I don't know what you are carrying right now. It might be hard, it might be heavy, but God is faithful to help us to carry our own burden. How we deal with our crosses makes a difference for us and to the people around us. That's our great comfort here. Sometimes the crosses that we are carrying is so heavy, we never realize that people around us is watching us as well, and it's like a blessing to them how we carry the crosses that God has given in our lives. Are you tired of carrying that? Remember that people around us see what we are going through, and he knows how to provide those individuals. We may never know what impact our daily sacrifices will have on others. Yet, we can be assured that our actions in following Jesus Christ will most certainly have an impact on those around us, perhaps on someone seeking Christ and forgiveness. My friend, just continue as what the Simon of Cyrene in Jesus Christ's life, they finish the cross all the way to Golgotha. That's only the first lesson from Simon of Cyrene. Pick up your cross because we are called to carry our own burden. Lesson number two. There are times in our lives that we are called to carry someone's burden. Not only we have to carry our own burden, but God sometimes, this is one thing that I love about God. I don't know why He provides people that sometimes is not even related to us to help them carry their burden. That's a good ministry, my brother and sister in Christ. So just don't just like, oh, I have to help him to carry something. That's a ministry opportunity. As I mentioned last in our prayer meeting last Wednesday, that I share about our during the time that like there are times in some churches that they focus more on like reaching out the outside world, but then they will never realize. I'm not saying that's wrong, right? But I'm saying is that there's a lot of men and women in our congregation that needs to be reached out as well. And I share them some few verses for them to be a blessing, to be a blessing to their brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you been in a situation that you had to help carry someone's burden? It might be a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, or even a stranger, like the story of Simon of Cyrene. How do you feel about that? Are you carrying it with joy or grudgingly? Sometimes, like, you know what? With human as we are, we sometimes then like, I'm tired of helping other people. Right? Guilty, don't tell me that. I'm one of the guilty too. That's why I told you this is the lesson that is for, this is an encouragement to me because I experienced this kind of attitude when I like, why I have to? But my friends, as I mentioned, is are we carrying it with joy or grudgingly? Do we carry their burden all the way like Simon did? Or we just leave them halfway like, oh, I'm tired of you. But hopefully the life of Simon is an encouragement to us that he go all the way until they become ready to stand by their own. The significance of Simon's story is sometimes the most important crosses that we will bear in our lives belongs to someone else. Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, Romans 15, verse 1, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, to bear one another's burden. Joy mentioned like sometimes you want to carry, to help them carry their elephant big burden, instead that sometimes only God wants us just to carry like their dog size burden, right? Sometimes we just want to do everything for them, but there are times in our life that God wants us to know when and how to help them. Are you struggling with that? Just continue to help because as mentioned a while ago, we are called to bear one another's burden. Number three lesson that I want for us to think about is Simon of Cyrene is an example of how God can use anybody with different origin and marital status to fulfill his plan and to help his people's burden be lighter. You might consider yourself like Simon of Cyrene, unfamous, from the country, unpopular, but by the grace of God, God can use you to be a channel of blessing to the people that God put in your life. So do not just belittle yourself. You're just like, oh, I am just like this. Remember, like Simon of Cyrene, he might be unfamous in his town, but anybody, you and me, young and old, sorry, I use the word old. Sometimes it's not proper according to them. Don't use the word old because like it's okay. We're getting there. I'm getting there. So we can be used by God to, anybody can use by God. Whatever your situation is, God can use you to be a channel of blessing to the people that God put in your heart. And the last one here, lessons from him is, God can use our physical strength, our talents, our gifts, and possessions to help others carry their burdens lighter. My friends, who are those people that God put in your heart today that you can be a blessing to them by helping them carrying their burden? And if you are here right now, you will be like Jesus, carrying a lot of burdens, heavy burdens. Pick up your cross daily and follow Him. Don't give up, because God knows how to help you when you need one. The second one. Okay, we're done with Simon. And I don't know, some of you may know him as well. I call this man a council member who gives Jesus a proper burial. You know who he is? His name is Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea. One thing that I like about this guy is that, like, he's just like there. He's like one of those followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph of Arimathea is a Bible character who often overlooked and underrated. He appears only once in the Bible history, but his deeds are recorded in all four Gospels. I think it's only like 5 verses per Gospel. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like, there are only 5 verses in every chapter. So his reference is Matthew chapter 27, verse 57 to 60, Mark 15, verse 42 to 46, Luke chapter 23, 50 to 54, and then John 19, 30 to 42. He appears only, but I'm saying this, but he has mentioned it in at least 5 verses in the 4 Gospels, but his act had a big impact on our Christian faith today. And with what he did for Jesus. Let's go back to his background or how he was described in the Bible. First is, he is from a Jewish town called Arimathea, Luke 23:50. The second description is, a rich man, Matthew 27:57. A rich man in the day would have been, he's wealthy, he had money. The third one is, a disciple of Jesus, even though he is like a secret followers. We call it a secret followers of Jesus. Matthew 27:57 and John 19:38. And another description of him is a man who feared the Jews. John 19:38. Number 5, he is a respected member of the council, or we call it Sanhedrin. And number 6, looking for the kingdom of God, and a man, a good and a righteous man. As I mentioned a while ago, he is a secret follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his courage, his action makes a difference. We read in Mark chapter 15, verse 43, that Joseph took courage or went boldly without fear. This was a huge step for Joseph. Remember that he was a secret follower of Jesus. He was risking his life by asking Jesus' body. He could lose all that he had. His possessions, even his position, or that being a Sanhedrin, by being identified with Jesus. He could have damaged his reputation, but it doesn't stop him from asking Jesus' body. It took courage to do that. A man whom we know a little about stepped forward to make a great personal risk for God and for Jesus Christ. My prayer for my personal life is the same thing. To stand, to have that courage, to stand for God and for Jesus Christ. Because many times in our world right now, it's hard for us to be identified. When I was still in my teenager life, I drink a lot. I spend most of my allowance to buy drink. And when I was converted and when I become a Christian, of course, my friends always ask me, hey, let's drink. And of course, sometimes I don't want to tell, like, I'm already a new guy. I'm a Christian already. But remember, I need to stand for what is right. And many times we be in our life have the same thing. We don't want to admit in our, like, I'm a Christian. We're trying to hide our Christianity from our workplace, from our neighbors. We need to stand. We have to have courage to stand for God and for what is right. And a man, going back to Joseph of Arimathea, a man whom we know a little about, stepped out. And this is the lessons that I want to share to you about his life, that I learned from him. We learned the lesson of sacrifice by giving his best, not his second best. Why I called him his best. He offered his tomb instead for Jesus Christ's body. I believe he's a good one. He's a rich man, as a description a while ago in Matthew 27:57. He has money. He can even just buy like maybe a simple tomb for Jesus Christ. But he offered his own personal tomb for Jesus. A great example for us to follow, to offer, to give our best, not just our second best. He gave up his personal tomb for Jesus and bought linens, wrappings, and spices. As I mentioned a while ago, he could have found a cheaper tomb, but he chose to offer his best. Remember, when we offer anything to God, it always includes sacrifice. He sacrificed his own personal best for Jesus Christ. In Joseph of Arimathea case, he offered his tomb. How about us? What are the best in us that we can offer to Jesus today? I know it's a very challenging question. I ask myself many times the same thing. What can I give to Jesus every day of our lives? Number two is the lessons that I want to share about him is be courageous for Jesus. Like Joseph of Arimathea, he had that courage to stand and ask for Jesus' body, even though it took his good reputation. In our challenges today, what are our own challenges these days that demands our courage for Jesus? Be courageous for Jesus. I know all of us, we have our own challenges to stand for what is right and to stand for God. Number three. God wants us to stand like Joseph of Arimathea for him in this hostile land. Stand for what is right, even it takes our money, possessions, prestige, and a lot more. By the way, I don't know if this is just like came into my mind. In the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, God uses two Josephs. Joseph during his birth and Joseph during his death. Joseph, his earthly father, and Joseph of Arimathea in his death. Just like for me, it's like, wow. I don't know about that. It's just like fascinate me. And the fourth one is, actually, it's not a lesson, but a challenge to all of us. What do we have that we can offer to God since he blesses us with millions of things? During our Sunday school class, we're now studying about Psalm 23. While I'm trying to finalize my preaching outline, my preaching, Psalm 23 actually came into mind when asking about what are the things that God blesses me. If you read Psalm 23, there's a lot of things over there that if you think about it, read it slowly, and what did God blesses me with? If you read Psalm 23, I think one page notebook is not enough for if you just count it. So I encourage you all, if you have time, attend our Sunday school class. We still have like two more months to do, right? Two more months to finish Psalm 23. I don't know what, I'm just like a lot of lessons that we can learn from that. So if you are struggling, it's like, what are the blessings that God gave me? Read Psalm 23, and you will discover a lot of blessings that you can read from that six verses. And whatever God blesses you with, use it to minister or to reach out others. When God blesses you with gift of teaching, teach. When God blesses you with music, play and sing for God's glory and honor. With words of encouragement, encourage. When God blesses you with a house, open your house for God's ministry. When God bless you financially, open your wallet. When God bless you with good organizing, which some of our folks are good in that, organize. Some of us, like God bless you with good cleaning. Some of us are like enjoy cleaning, than clean. Some of I know people like they like to clean. And what my point here that God used your different talents, God used your different gifts to be a blessing, to offer that to God, because God wants you to offer your best to God. As you offer what you have to God, offer your best and not your second best. Remember this. As you offer your best to God, remember this verse. In whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The temptation sometimes is to please other people when we're giving our best. Yes, sometimes the problem is we get frustrated when we never recognize what we did. But this verse is a very, very good reminder for us that whatever you do, do it to the Lord and not for men. Last Wednesday, I mentioned this, like how many times in our workplace that people don't even recognize what we did. But what's the excitement that you are going back again the following day? Because everything you do it to the Lord. That's excites me when like how many times that people from my workplace ignore what I did. But I told my last Wednesday, like, what keeps me going back to work with joy and excitement? Because I'm doing it to the Lord and not for men. How many times in my workplace I didn't even care what you did? But if you're doing things for the Lord, that's your joy, that's your satisfaction. It's a challenge. I know it's easy, my brother and sister in Christ, here to give your best to the Lord, but do it for the Lord and not for men, because frustration comes when we do our best for other people instead of doing it to the Lord. In closing, I want to read this. Actually, it's a good song. And later on, Mark will lead us with his singing. But I want to read this because in their website, they only give two verses. But but there are like actually three verses. So it's a song from Patch the Pirate. Patch the Pirate is by Ron Hamilton. And if you don't know more about, if you can search about him, he is also the one who sing Rejoice in the Lord, even though he was diagnosed with eye cancer, is that eye cancer? Something about his eye, he was blind. He write the song Rejoice in the Lord, and a lot more of it, very encouraging. This closing song is entitled, I Want to Be Faithful. God gives to all his children talents both great and small. My gifts belong to Jesus. I let him use them all. The second verse is, when we are serving Jesus, no task can be too small. If we obey the Savior, then we will hear his call. I want to live for Jesus. I want to please God's Son. If he has found me faithful, I hear him say, well done. The chorus says, I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. I want to be faithful through every test. I want to be faithful. I give him my best. Anybody are familiar with the song? Thank you. We can sing along. I will ask Mark to lead us in singing this song. And after this, we will go to our Lord's table.
So Pastor gave us a song we didn't know, and now Ricky gives us a song I don't know, other people know it. Again, Jenny and I practiced it a little bit. So this is not represented in your bulletin, except that there's a page.